Turn to your, whatever this thing's called, outline, 19 points. And when we get to the verses, I want you, different ones of you, to have your Bible open. And if you want, I'll just read them. If I'm going to say, does anybody have that verse? If you don't raise your hand real quick, I'm going to read it. I want you to notice the title, Steps to Victorious and Thorough Deliverance from Sin. And I want you to note that we cannot go from one point to the next without understanding and cooperating or dealing completely with the point that we're on. So I know you've heard point number one over and over again, but guess what? If someone is not willing to see their sin, see, there's people that give lip service, like Tom said. You're going through a list. You give lip service. What you need to do is pray this prayer. Okay, lead me in the prayer, and I say the words, and then you say the words, and I say the words, and you say the words, and nothing changes. Because it's not the words. It's, do you mean it? Okay? So the first question is, or the first thought is, we have to be willing to see our sin and the spirits that we partnered with. How did we partner with spirits? By believing their lies and letting them live in and through us. Does anybody have Psalm 51:6?
Sure.
Yes, sir.
Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom.
Good. Anybody have Psalm 139:23-24? Glenn? Now, this is a new improved version that we got out today. I think this will be the last one, but if God adds more, that's fine. But I love it. All right, so here's the question from this point. Am I willing to see my sin? That's your question. And here's your prayer. God, I am willing now to see my sin, and I want to see it. You see, the reason people are afraid to see their sin is because they don't know how to deal with it. That's what these whole 19 points are about. That's why most Christians, if they get around somebody like me, I intimidate you or something. And I'm not trying to do that, but I want to help you get free. I want to get you to Jesus, because Jesus will set you free. He's got the keys, and He will set you free. But in order for you to get free, you have to get honest. And the very first thing is, we have to be willing to see that we are not God. We have come against God by listening to God's enemy, because all he could do is give us a suggestion. But we get to choose, are we going to follow God or follow the devil? We get to choose who's going to live in us. Okay? So God, I am now willing to see my sin, and I want to see it. Point number two. We need God to reveal this sin and the spirits, and to unmask them for what they really are, so that we could clearly see them through His eyes from His perspective. These spirits are the enemies of God, and they're our enemies too. They deceive us into believing they're giving us one thing, when in truth, it is the opposite. And then just a thought, when you're going to pray through this, what is the root sin and spirit that God has identified in you? Is it pride? Is it self-righteousness? Is it blindness? I don't want to see. Is it judgment? What is it? Okay? What is the one that you were struggling with? And if you don't know, you could ask God. If you still don't know, now you got to get brave. Ask somebody around you, because they've already been seeing it for a long time. But ask somebody that loves you. Okay? What sin... If there was one sin that I needed to get rid of, if there was one sin that I needed to get out of my life that would change my life, what would it be? What's my main sin? Okay? Where are we? Okay. Number two in the verses. Okay? Somebody have 2 Corinthians 4:4, Roxanne? Okay, wait a minute. We got to do better than that. Hey, DBJ, please, would you do me a favor? You don't want to read, so do me a favor. Get that mic to whoever is going to hold their hands up.
In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
1 John 2:11. Who has it? Rick?
But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not where he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes.
Okay, John 10:10. Anybody have that? I do. Good. The thief... Oh, did you already say? Yes, go.
The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
Awesome. Okay, here's the question. Have I seen this sin through God's eyes? How does he think and feel about this sin in me? And here's my prayer. Father, I want to see my sin through your eyes so that I can see, think, and feel about it just like you do. Show me my sin for what it really is. Point number 3. Admit to ourselves that this sin and these spirits are in us. As we admit the truth, God grants us repentance. We need to own our sin, no jade. What is jade? Justifying, arguing, defending, explaining. No blame shifting. Psalm 51, 1 through 4. Who has it? Yes? Joy. Here comes Nate. Oh, go ahead.
Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judge.
2 Timothy 2:25. Who has that? Sue?
In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth.
Thank you. So here's the question. Without jade, without justifying, arguing, defending, or explaining, do I admit that this sin is in me? Here's my prayer. Father, I admit this sin is in me and that I've been allowing demon spirits to operate through my life. That is the truth. There are no excuses. Now that I realize that, I'm making a different choice. Point number 4. Ask Father to help us recognize and name our sin in each corresponding Antichrist spirit that we are now serving and partnering with. 2 Timothy 1:7. Who has that? Up here.
For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind.
Awesome. Ephesians 2:2. Who has that? Glenn Boyce.
Grace be to you and peace.
I'm sorry, Ephesians 2:2.
Oh, 2:2. It's the other two.
Yeah.
Wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Awesome. John 8:34. Who has that? Okay, I do. Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Romans 6:16 to 18. Who's got that? Joy does, right there, Nate. I love this passage.
Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness.
Awesome. Here's the question. Have I recognized and named my sin? Prayer. Father, please help me to recognize my sin. I'm going to read it out of here. I had changed it a little bit on this paper, which is better, but I'm just so I can keep up with the verses. Father, please help me to recognize my sin so that I can name it out loud so it can't trick me anymore. Please unmask and specifically identify the Antichrist enemies of my life that are deceiving me and living through me daily. Can I ask a question? Is anybody in here without sin?
No.
Sorry?
No.
Do you want to be delivered from it?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. For those that answered. Number five. Realize that we partnered with devilish spirits when they made a suggestion of how to respond in a given situation in our lives. We agreed with them. Thereby, we invited them in and gave them permission and license to live in us. We were intimate with devilish spirits and conceived sin together. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. Yes, Tom. Right there, Nate.
I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live.
Awesome. Joshua 24:15. Yes, right here. Need some rollerblades.
And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Awesome. Luke 22:2-3. Anybody have that? Yes, right there. Other people could do it too if you wanted
and
to.
And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed
Iscariot.
Right, Iscariot, being of the number of 12.
Notice verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas Iscariot. Okay? James chapter 1, verses 13-15. Do I get to read it? Oh, okay. Well, let Janiah read it. Let Janiah. I'm sorry. I just get so excited. No, you go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll probably say more. Go ahead.
Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death.
I want you to understand something here. Please pay attention. And that is this. When the devil comes along to give us a thought, just rebel. Do it your way. Don't listen. Be proud. Argue. Justify. Defend. Judge. Blame shift. When the devil comes along to give you that idea, if you even entertain that thought, the verse says, every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That word enticed means to be entangled. You see, there is no confusion when God says, Harvey, I want you to... I started to say obey your mom, and then I thought, but she's not here. Okay, Harvey, obey Sue. Okay, yes, Lord. Yeah, and she's over there, of course, going yes, you know. because I'm married, and I'm not supposed to do those jokes, right? So, okay. But seriously, if God says, you know, if the thought comes to me, Harv, you need to help Sue and clean the dishes that are on the counter. If I start arguing in my mind, if I start thinking, well, I don't really want to do that. You know, I do have a job. I want to, my phone. Come on, phone, ring, please. And I've got other things. And I'm sure there's somebody I need to call. If I start thinking any other thing, I go into confusion because obedience, definition for obedience. Obedience is doing, it's okay, don't worry, nobody got hurt. And if they did, we'll raise them from the dead. You ready? Here we go. You ready? Obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told, with the right attitude. Let's do that again. Obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told, with the right attitude. If we do anything but that, if we leave any of those parts out, it's disobedience. Slow obedience is disobedience. And the Bible says you get revenge on the devil when your obedience is fulfilled. It's 2 Corinthians 10:6. Okay? Now, when we consider any other thought but what is truth, we go into confusion. We need to agree with the truth. When we start trying to think of any other way, our version, Joe, you need to clean the floor. Well, let's see. I don't really want to clean the floor. I know what I'll do. I'll just sweep the aisles and it'll look better. But I won't really do what Mom wants and clean all the floor, the corners, you know. I'll just do a show of cleaning. Okay, did he obey? He knew what she wanted, didn't he? Yeah. She's told him before, probably only 300 or 400 times. Okay? But when he thinks of any other way, he tries to do his version, it's not truth, is it? And that's when we enter into confusion. And then it says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust or his own strong desire. And when lust hath conceived, it says, and he's enticed, he's entangled. That means we get entangled. Are you listening? It's a picture of a man and woman. I didn't make this up. Are you listening to me? We're grown-ups in here. It's a picture of a man and woman being together intimately. Now, do you want to be intimate with the devil?
No.
Have you ever did you watch the movie Ghost? I mean, I hope you had a language filter, you know, so you didn't hear all the cuss words. Like, we got a language filter that takes all the cuss words out. But did you ever watch the movie Ghost? Like, when those evil spirits came to take the man and drag him to hell, or the different people in the movie. To me, that was about as close as Hollywood or a visual picture I ever saw of what it's like for an unsaved person at the time of death. See, when a saved person dies, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8. But when the devil, when you are not saved, you don't know God, Jesus is not your Savior, you're not under the blood, when you die, in Luke 16, about verse 23, and it says, and the rich man died, and in hell, immediately, in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment. It's not like there was an acclimation period. Do you understand? And you, in James chapter 1, when we disobey, when we listen to the enemy, we are only drawn away because of our strong evil desire, because of sin in us. It has a foothold in us because we've made choices. Are you listening? There's a test, remember? It's called your life. That's right. You ready? It says, and then we get entangled, and a man and a woman get entangled and conceive sin. Together with an evil spirit, you and an evil, antichrist, hating God, hating you, spirit, have intimacy, And the result of that, the seed of that, is sin that is produced, birthed in your life. You go look at James 1:13-15. Yes. Wait a minute. Where's Nate? Oh.
On this point, people think of lust as having to be sexual, but lust just means a strong desire, what it is you really, really want. And when a spirit tells you they will give you what you want, that's how you come into blending into oneness with them to get what you want. But they lie and they give you the opposite.
Right. Okay, what point were we on? Five. Y'all are going to have to listen on purpose for us to get done now. Okay. Do I realize that I now partner with devilish spirits? Do you even realize that? Because if you don't realize that, you're not going to go forward. You're deceiving yourself. You're believing a lie already. God, and so do you want to have intimacy with somebody who hates your guts and is raping you and wants to burst something in you that is going to only hurt you and other people? Kill you? Steal, kill, and destroy? That's the only reason He comes. God, I realize that I have been partnering with devils. But with Your help, Jesus, that's going to stop right now. I like it. I like these little prayers. Thank you. Number six. We are now, until Jesus sets us free, we are now handcuffed. People say, well, Jesus died on the cross for me and He's my Savior, so I'm set free. I'm sorry. Let me ask people close to you if you don't sin. You see, the thing that's neat, Joy, when you came last week and you said publicly, I have anger, which is an antichrist spirit, and that spirit, Romans 7:21, when you would do good, evil is present with me. When I would do God, devil is present with me. Anger is not you. But you, so much of your life, have lived in anger, probably because anger was done to you and people have hurt you, abused you, lied to you, not loved you, not accepted you, and all these things. And it's caused this anger comes and has said to you, told you lies. You bought into it. And so you gave license. I'll be angry about that. Instead of Janiah crying, most of her life, she got angry. Do you understand? And some of that's my fault as her dad. Because when she was a little girl, if I can ever be her dad again, that'd be really cool. Okay, but when she was a little girl, I said to her what my dad said to me, dry up. Don't cry. And so, okay, dry up. So then, with all these feelings, she had to vent them, so it turned into anger. The truth that set her free was God said, are you willing to cry instead of being angry? I don't want to be crying. I already cried. My dad told me I'm going to cry, baby. I don't want to cry. And God's like, if you don't want to cry, then you're going to keep being angry. You see, tears break people. A soft answer breaketh the bone head. Okay, it says in Proverbs 15:1, the last word I italicized, I added. Okay? Another one where it says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Tears, okay, are gentleness. Tears are an emotion. See, when people do stuff, we get hurt, but instead we retaliate with anger. Are you willing to cry? God says to my little daughter, are you willing to cry instead of being angry? Finally, she said, yes! And now she's turning into a little crybaby. Got to walk around her with sponges, you know? And it's really cool because God's delivering her. And here's what I want you to get, Joy. It's layers. And the reason we do these 19 steps, so you can get forgiveness just by coming 1 John 1:9, when I've led a lot of people to the Lord, one of the first verses I would teach them is, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's true. The problem is that word forgive, He will forgive you for what you just did, and then He will cleanse. In other words, that word is a continual working of God to change that root in you. Well, that's what this whole 19 steps is about. It's about the roots getting out of you. When you last week said, Jesus, take that root of sin out of me, all its root systems, so He's pulling them all out, okay? And He pulls that. Now I've got this deep V. Jesus, I want You to come fill that space. I'm asking You to pour in Your blood of cleansing and forgiveness, okay? Now what Jesus does is He begins to deal with all the times that you were angry. And things will come back up and you'll see your mom and then you'll be crying, you know, because of what happened. He brings an incident up to you from your past, okay? And then what you will do is you'll say, God, I'm sorry. Yes, my mom may have yelled at me or my mom may have done whatever. But God, here's how I responded. I yelled. I got angry. See, you asked Him to reveal the seed of where that root got planted. Because it was a seed. And it started with an incident. And then after that, we built it. We put fertilizer. We put fertilizer by other choices to make it get stronger in us. And what I'm saying is God's going to bring up incidents, and as you break agreement, it's like God will begin to remove the more and more of the power and the influence of that in you till you come to 2 Corinthians 7:11, a true, deep, full repentance. Where you hate that sin. You don't want anything to do with it. You see how it hurt our Savior on the cross. You see how it hurt everybody around you. You see how it's destroyed you and alienated you in relationships, which are the only thing that's eternal. When you go to the cemetery, you don't take a U-Haul. You take all those cars which denote relationships. People, and that's what's eternal. Relationship with God, relationship with others. Everything else is not eternal. Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not about things. It's not about I'm right. Many times I was right. But it didn't make for a good relationship. Relationship is more important than being right. Was an epiphany for me. Okay? Phew. So I wish somebody would shoot that clock. Okay. We're now handcuffed to these sins and spirits. We gave these spirits power over ourselves by agreeing with them and allowing them to live in us. And they don't have our best interests at heart, by the way. Know that we don't control them. These sins and spirits have power over us. Is that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked. Romans chapter 7. Start with verse 11. Does anybody want to read that? Anybody want to read that? Okay, I will, since somebody raised their hand. Okay, go ahead, Tom.
For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good
start
made...
Start over. Verse 13.
Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
Thank you. I'm stopping there. I want to go through this. I am bound and determined to be done by 12:30. Okay. I'm hoping that's okay with you, Lord. It goes like this. Have these 19 points that anybody's been going through them, have they helped you? Is that not what we were hearing testimony of? I mean, did it help you a little bit? A lot? Huge. I want you to understand something. Jesus is all about doing a complete deliverance in you. When you go through this, turn to Hebrews 1:9. When you go through these 19 steps, Hebrews 1:9, I just saw again this week, and when I saw it, I about bust again. You want to read that? Here, where's Nate? Let Glenn Boy read that.
Hebrews 1:9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? Listen to verse 9 in Hebrews 1. Here's what it's teaching. When you and I love righteousness, truth, God, pure God, not watered down, religious, whatever. Pure truth. When you love righteousness and you hate, despise, don't want anything to do with iniquity, which is even the thought of sin. Then God says, you're in for a treat. I'm going to anoint you with the oil of gladness even more than others around you. And you're going to find yourself about to bust all the time because you're just going to be so in love with truth and righteousness and you're going to be hating iniquity. You're just going to be full of joy and peace. And you're just going to be like a God artesian well. Just busting with God. But we've got to love truth and hate righteousness. We can't be loving truth when we're making agreements and having intimacy with Antichrist spirits. Letting them live in us. Lies. Selfishness. Please. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want you to understand something. Ask God. I ask you to do homework this week. Do you remember what the homework was this week? What was the homework this week? Read the verses that were on the 19 steps. How many verses were there, Tom? Before I added a few this morning? How many? 69. Thank you. Okay. The short answer is 69. Okay. Now, here we go. Did I said, I don't care if you don't read your three chapters. I mean, I wish you would. I was hoping that, you know, you'd go further. But whether you read the three chapters or not, I wanted you to read those 69 verses every day. And it's not what I wanted. It wasn't like Harvey came up with this. God gave me this thought to say to you. Why? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This King James Bible does not contain the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Do you understand? When you take this inside of you, if you plant seeds of corn, you get, and we got a whole bunch of it out there, please get it and don't leave it there, because then Helping Hand Ed for Jesus is going to get on me. Why didn't you get rid of all this corn? And it's good stuff. Okay? Okay? When you plant tomato seeds, what do you get and cover my counter with? Tomatoes. That's right. He covers my tomato, my counter with tomatoes because he's got so many tomatoes coming forth because he kept planting all these seeds, right? And they're good. Sue fixed something yesterday. I don't know what they called, some kind of burrito via Sue. And then Tim and I saw those tomatoes sitting there, and they were little cherry tomatoes. And I would take a bite of burrito thing or whatever it was, and then I threw it like a tomato. And dude, it was, I mean, it was already good before I did that, but it's just like, wah! Okay, when we plant corn seed, we get corn. When we plant tomato seed, we get tomatoes. This is real deep now. I mean, it's hard to figure this, you know. I'm glad the kids aren't in here. This is so deep. Okay, and when you plant God seed, guess what you get? You get a God crop inside of you. And God is bigger than the boogeyman, the devil, and all the demons. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
And do you understand if you get him in here, oh, snake breath is just upset. He doesn't know what to do. Because he can't hold a candle to him. Matter of fact, he doesn't want to hold a candle. He'd rather you hang out in the darkness. Let's do everything in the dark, you know, he says. God is always about, let's do it in the light. This week, how many of you did that homework where you read those verses? And, well, okay, how many of you tried to do it every day? Was there anybody that did it every day? How many of you did it, like, a lot of the days? Awesome. Now, was it good? How about it, Dave? Did it help?
Yes.
How about it, Tom?
Yes.
Breakthrough? Do you know this week, after the men's meeting and the public confrontation with Tom, do you know that I met with Tom on Friday?
Yes.
And after, now I've known him since 2000, but Tom has been in such agreement with so many spirits that he didn't even realize. He was naming them to you. Did you hear his list? I got 5 minutes. Quit putting yourself away. Okay. Y'all got to give me the whole till 12:30 here now. Okay. I mean, I've been keeping you till 1, so I'm trying to cut you about 30 minutes of slack. So pay attention on purpose now. You ready? After spending about, God bless you, 6 hours with Tom on Friday, I said to Tom, I reached over and I shook his hand. Now, I've known him since 2000. And I said, Tom, I'm glad to meet you. I've never known you before. Up until Friday, all the time, and I love Tom, and I could see what God would show me about Tom, but when I would go to deal with Tom, I had all these spirits to deal with. I've just given you a clue here. It's in parentheses. He's not the only one in this room. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I notice when people don't open their mouths, there's a reason. When you ask a question like that. Now watch this. after Tom started breaking agreement with those spirits, and I met with Tom, I was talking to Tom. I wasn't having to battle all these spirits of confusion and pride and self-righteousness and judgment and accusation and blame shifting. And it's not Tom. When Tom would do God. Who was there? Devil is present with me. Romans 7:21. 10 words. Romans 7:21. When I would do good, evil is present with me. I'm sorry, that just works for me, so I do it. Now, here's what I'm saying to you. God is delivering you by degrees, but you have to make a choice first. I'm willing to see my sin. Don't you understand that God loves you? Do you know or remember that God loves you unconditionally and eternally? Don't you understand and know that God loves you for who you are and not what you do? Whether you ever choose God or not, God loves you 100% right now. Right now. Doesn't matter how many hours you didn't sleep last night. It doesn't matter what choices you made this week. It doesn't matter if you got mad at somebody. God's love is not based on your choice. Okay? But He doesn't wink at sin. Every sin has to be paid for. So then God said, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to prepare myself a body and I'm going to go and make a way for you, and I'm going to pay for your sin and make it possible for you to live in victory and for you to become Christ-like. Quit being a Christian and start being a Christian. A Christ-like believer. And that's breaking an agreement with what nailed Jesus to the cross. Break agreement with the devil who's present with us when I would make that choice. Get real. But realize when you do this and you ask Him to remove that, you break agreement like James 4, 7 and 8. Submit yourself therefore to God. God, I want you. Is that what you want?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I'm not asking you to just get louder. I'm just, when I say, is that what you want? I'm asking because I'm wanting to know about everybody else that didn't answer. Is that what you want?
Yeah.
Do you want Jesus?
Yeah.
Do you want God? Do you want righteousness?
Yeah.
Do you want to be like Jesus? Do you want truth? Do you want light? Do you like peace and love and acceptance and people to believe in you and blessing? Because that's what He sets before us on the one hand. And on the other hand, I don't want. Because that's what the enemy has for us. And that's what God said in one of the verses we just read. I believe it was Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. He said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You choose. So do you want God or you want the devil? When you simply, James 4, 7 and 8, submit yourselves therefore to God. God, I want you. Resist the devil. I don't want you. I've made agreements with you and been proud. I've made agreements with you and been harsh. I've made agreements with you and been judgmental. I've made agreements with you and been proud and whatever I'm insecurity and fear and not anymore. I'm stopping it right here. I don't want you in my life. Now, Jesus, I'm turning to you. Jesus said, good. Now I can turn to you. When you draw nigh to Him, He draws nigh to you. And it is a process. You start it by getting the root out. And Jesus is the only one who can do it. Once you get the root out, then Jesus starts delayering and removing all the influence and everything that's happened in your life up till now. Folks, I am so excited with the testimonies I keep hearing. And the things I'm watching in your lives. And somebody going from anger to tender-hearted. She calls it weeping, crybaby. No, she's being tender-hearted. When Dudley hurts her, you know how he hurts her every day, you know? Only kidding. When Dudley, if Dudley hurt her, let's use me, because I've hurt her more than Dudley has. If I hurt her, if she shows me she's hurt, she starts crying, it breaks my heart. If she just gets angry, old snake breath comes along and says, just get angry back at her. Just go, oh, whatever. Be all heart, you know, heart, or whatever that word is, you know, ice queen or whatever it is, ice king or something, you know. No, you know what I'm saying. I was thinking, you know, whatever. I was thinking of those that confess to being ice queen. Do you understand? Which is better? For the soft crying? We have to be willing. God's camp is about humility. The devil's camp is about pride. Are we willing to be broken? Are we willing to get honest? Are we willing to have Christ, tenderness, gentleness, love formed in us? Or are we just going to put on a show and wear a little tag and say that we're a Christian? And you can't find Christ in us with a magnifying glass. Which is it? I only want Jesus to live in me. How about you? This week, you did really good. I didn't expect anybody to read all those verses every day. I might do it, but I didn't expect you to do it, okay? But I'm about to OD on this. This is just like, I can't even, I'm about to bust. And I'm about to bust because of you. Because I'm watching it being planted in your life. I'm watching other things being uprooted. And then Jesus. See, when you uproot that, now you got to fill it with Jesus. And then more and more of Jesus starts filling your life where you had all this other stuff. Are we good? It's only 12:33. I saw that hand. Obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told, with the right attitude. Has a lot of things about getting the job done. If you don't know, you need help. Yep. Right. Right. Right.
What does that have? I mean, if the job's done, great deal, I get crazy.
It's a difference like this. Sue says, I'm going to serve you food. I said, Sue, I'm hungry. She says, you're never not hungry. I said, yeah, but can we eat this time? You know, it's like one of those times of day we designate for eating, you know. And she says, yes. But she's in the middle of something. Now you tell me. If she goes over there, takes a... what's those things called out of the freezer? You know? TV dinner. Okay? Sticks it in the microwave. Burns it. Throws it on the table. In this little thing with a plastic on it. Or, if Sue says, God, Harvey receives love through food. So what I want to do is I want to God Harvey. And what I want to do is I want you to come fill me with your love. And then she goes and she fixes food and she does little extras and she hand cooks all this stuff. And then she puts it on a plate that looks all pretty and it's on a nice plate with silverware, you know. And now you tell me, is there a difference in attitude? She did the same thing. I know there's two kinds of cars. AB cars, ABC cars. AB cars get you point A to point B. ABC cars get you point A to point B in class. But what I'm saying is, it's like, yeah, but we're not talking about a car. We're talking about an attitude. We're talking about Christ in you. We're talking about Christ in you. Ask God, how do I do this, Lord? What do you want me to do first? And one of the things he may say is, number one is, Lloyd, can you do this? And you're like, no. And he's like, then give me your attitude. Give me your time. Give me your attention. Let me fill you with my peace, my grace. Let me overwhelm you with my love. Dave, he's upstairs with the kids. He works for me. Sometimes he'll call me and he's overwhelmed with a job. And I say to him, I'm his boss. And I pray and say, God, what do I say to Dave? And he'll say, tell Dave to go out to his truck and take 3 minutes and go sit on the lap of Abba Father. I say, go sit in your chair, in your car, in the truck, and just sit there and say, Jesus, I'm here. I need you. I'm overwhelmed and I just want to come into your presence. Would you bring me into your presence? See, God always accepts an invitation. And then God comes and loves on them, fills them. I said, don't even think about nothing for 3 minutes. Just give it to God. Here's the problems. Here's Subglaze. Here's Harvey. Okay? Here's my time. Here's my frustration. And he says, I got it covered. Now, let me love on you. Let me just hold you. Let me just soothe you. Let me fill you. And then God may say, Lloyd, if you're not sure what to do, go ask your boss, which one do you want me to do first? Uh-huh, I understand. And you say, I understand. Which one is priority? Which one do you want first? Because I will do whatever you want. Because see, then you're submitting to the authority that God's established in your life. It's a practical way of how to live. This isn't something we learn overnight. It's walking into it. And see, if you've got too much for you right now, you're right in the perfect place to learn how to depend on God. If you can handle it, you don't need God. If you can't handle it, you need God. Frustrating is because we can't handle it. I used to do your job. I used to run a shipping and receiving. But I also ran the rest of the 70-man shop and had to oversee every department. And I'm like, how do I get this done? And God taught me. Can you do it, Harv? I said, no. When I left there, I came back a week later to get my check. Three men, two of my bosses, my immediate boss and his boss, and another man were trying to do my job and were still behind. And everything was piling up and they weren't getting stuff done. I was doing three men's job. But how did I do it? I told God, I can't do this. And He said, good. He said, do you think I can handle it? I said, yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Is that what he should do, Roxanne? Is that what he should do, Tom?
Yeah.
See, God's trying to break you. Say what? He's putting you in that situation on purpose. Now, I know how for it to quit. Quit coming to Burning Bush. Okay? I know. The way to get your life to go smoother is you could just lower the standards and go somewhere else. But when you come here, God keeps raising the bar because you're being trained to be a minister, to release the life of God through you to others. We're going to enter into loving others to Jesus. We're going to learn to live, and then we can't do it. My love is too shallow for your need. God, I don't know what to do with Lloyd. He said, do you think I'm up here, like, you know, wringing my hands and pacing? He said, you think I can handle Lloyd? And I go, yeah. I said, what do I need? He said, you need more of my love. I'm like, well, then I quit trying to love Lloyd with my love because it's too shallow for Lloyd's need. Please come fill me with your love. And then I find myself just loving you. Okay? And then laying my life down for you. Well, guess what? That is what God is doing here. Because we have a world going to hell in a hurry, and North American Christianity isn't doing anything about it. We are going to Jesus them. We are going to love them. We are going to God them. And it's going to require us laying our lives down so Jesus could rise up and live His life through us. They don't need an improved Harvey. They need Harvey to get out of the way. What they need is to see Jesus. And that can only come when I die. Matthew 10:39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake, the same shall find it. This is not about religion. This isn't about trying to get you to do something. You can't. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. Please go look at it. And Jesus said to me, and he said unto me, my grace, my ability is sufficient. It's enough for you, Lloyd. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Then Lloyd says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, my weaknesses, my inabilities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Lloyd goes on to say, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when Lloyd is weak, then Jesus can be strong in Lloyd. And it is amazing. And you enter into the Christ life, and you get out of the religious life of performance, and you get into the Christ life of resting and saying, I can't do it, but God, I invite you to do it through me. And then He gives you baby steps. But it's something to learn. But you have to go through this process you're going with right now, where He's Psalm 102:17-19 says, He weakens your strength in the way. Right now He's weakening your strength in the way. Because if you're strong, then He can't be. You see, if you are in stress or... frustration. If you are in stress or frustration, it's because you're trying to do it. Because God is not stressed or frustrated with your job. Oh, He doesn't do your job? That's because you're not letting Him. Psalm 102, I think it's 19, I'm not 17, I can't remember, somewhere in there. Oh, Psalm 102:23, I think. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. We're done? Anybody? Questions? Comments? Lloyd, I feel for you. I'm not trying to straighten you out. I know it's hard. And Guy, this is what we're going to have to learn. It's a process. Because our flesh doesn't want to die. We try to be strong. We've been taught everywhere else. When God started showing me 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 years ago, I got mad at God. What do you mean be weak? I said my church teaches me I'm supposed to be a strong Christian. He said, that's not my way. That's man's version. You can't be strong. He said, if you're strong, then you get the honor, glory, praise, and credit. He said, but when you can't do it, and you depend on me, and I show up, then He gets the credit. That's because God is pushing you beyond yourself. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:8-10. It'll tell you the same thing. It says, we were pressed out of measure above strength, and so much we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raised us the dead, who hath delivered and doth deliver, and whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. See, it's all Jesus, but He's bringing you into a deeper place of depending on Him. Anybody else? Anything? I'll talk to you more afterwards. I just feel like I'm supposed to let it go. Father, I'm asking You to bless each one that's here. I'm thankful for what You're doing. I say, Lord, just keep helping us to depend on You. Help us to keep admitting truth, to keep choosing to see truth, and to stay, allow Your Word and these whole 19 steps, just to get into our lives, and we would put them into practice and not just be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. Because we don't want to deceive our own selves. And we say, thank You, Jesus. I am so thankful for what You're doing in us. Amen.